Welcome to Life as a Patient Doctor, where we transform my blog into an audio experience. I'm your host, MedPsych Moss, navigating healthcare as a patient and a future MD. Embark on a journey of vulnerability as we uncover the realities of trauma and developing resilience. Hit that follow and join us on this extraordinary life as a patient doctor. And now for the show.
Welcome, everyone. Today I have Ransom calling all the way from Nigeria. Welcome, Ransom. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It was great meeting you. And we actually met, I believe, on Instagram. So it's really great to hear from individuals from all across the world. And I would love to hear a little bit of your perspective in medicine and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. When I look at my journey, it's a bit amazing, you know, and worth sharing for people to, you know, hear. When you talk about my journey thus far, when I was little, I wanted to be medical doctor, you know, something like that. But as I was growing, I took a couple of exams to enter into med school, and I wasn't granted the admission to go into medicine, to study medicine. So I was given another option to go into radiography. According to my studies, I hated that course, right? Radiography. But my mom just told me, hey, you can just go for it. You know, I did my first year, did my second year. You know, I started falling in love with radiography, the word of radiography and everything. You know, without radiographers or radiologists out there, I don't believe that the healthcare will be where they are right now, because there's difference in the healthcare phases right now. Because the radiologists or the radiographers are the forefront in terms of the healthcare, whatever, in terms of medicine and everything. So I started falling in love with radiography, and I'm a very good researcher. I did a whole lot of researches, and I noticed that radiographers are really valuable. My passion to study medicine was still, right, because done with radiography. You know, I would love to work for like 3 to 5 years, you know, work, get some money and everything. I'm going to go back to med school, you know, to do an upper level, which is radiology in under, you know, medicine. My journey has been worth sharing, and I'm so happy that I'm here now, regardless of my environment, you know, because studying med school in my country, Nigeria, is really stressful. It's a whole nother level. Like, African medical school is a terrible place to live, man, and to study. But regardless of everything, I just have to keep pushing, regardless of anything, obstacles and downfalls are facing. So yeah, I thank you for everything. I really thank you for everything.
I love that. I love hearing your story. And especially, it's so important to know that there's other paths besides being a doctor. And I remember when I was a pre-med, I was also very set, like, only a doctor, only a doctor, only a doctor. And it was only when I took a step behind, it was like, oh, wait, it's not just a doctor. There are nurses, there are technicians. There's so many important pieces in medicine to help others. I'm so glad to hear that, even though it sounds like it was very painful and hard to not be able to achieve that moment in time, that acceptance, but you were able to find peace and find a passion where you landed. Could you talk a little bit about what your program looks like? Tell me a little bit about that specific program that you're in.
Talk about radiography and radiology, they're different. Yeah, I would say in layman's understanding, radiologists are the doctorate aspect of radiography. What do I mean by that? Radiographers are not medical doctors. They are just radiation scientists or radiation technicians. They're not medical doctors. You know, radiologists are the medical doctors. In my country, we don't do radiology as a course. We do radiography, and it's a 5-year course in all med school in Nigeria. It's a 5-year course. I'm my third year right now. So once you're done with your 5-year course, you're going to do something they call internship. And once you're done with your internship, you're going to do what is called NYSC. NYSC, my country, talks about National Youth Service, serving your country for 1 year. The government is going to post you to different states, you know, depending on your application. And after that, you're free to work, you know, licensed to work as a radiographer. So if you want to furthermore, in radiography, there are different types of specialties, major in MR scan, major in ultrasonography for ultrasound, computed tomography. You want to measure in DTR, digital radiography. But I want to specialize in CT, computed tomography, because it's a new technology. Computed tomography wasn't in existence 2 years ago. But it's a new technology that is coming into Africa, and people don't really have a clue about what CT is all about. So I'm going to specialize in that CT. Once I'm done with studying, once I specialize in that CT, I would love to work for like 3 to 5 years. And then if you want to do your master's, if you want to do your PhD, you can go for that. But I'm not going to do master's. I'm not going to do PhD in any of that. I have to go back to med school because I want to be a radiologist, not a radiographer. I don't want to just be a radiation scientist. I want you to call me, whenever you call my name, Ransom, I want you to add that, you know, that title, Dr. Ransom. You know, I love that title. It gives me very much happiness, you know. So yeah, I'm going to go back to med school, you know, and do an MBBS, which is a medicine degree under radiology. I'm going to be a licensed radiologist in the future. Yeah.
Amazing. I love your passion. That's so important to keep following your dream and to not give up because everyone's journey is so different. And I think that's one of the major reasons I started this podcast is to hear everyone's journey because not everyone's path is linear or perfect to one. And so I love hearing your story. Is there any other challenges or triumphs that you've had throughout your journey? I know you were also making your own podcast. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Apart from my medical studies, also a proficient medical writer. I do a lot of writings on medical articles, medical journals for publications, white paper writings, researched projects, medical blog content, medical education for a couple of personal clients and a couple of healthcare and pharmaceutical companies around the globe. So there are challenges, of course, I'm facing or have faced in the past. I'm my third year, so my first year, second year, and third year is a whole another level. Like I said, in my country, Nigeria, education is not really paramount to it. They don't really care about what education is all about. So looking at my environment and looking how it can deteriorate someone's future if you put your mind on it, that's the more reason why I don't really care about my environment. If you don't like me because I come from my country, I don't give a I don't care about what you think about my country or something. So I don't let my environment to hold me back. So my first med school was a whole nother level. So I was so young. I'm still young, 21 years. I started med school in 19 years. I sort of started in 18 because there was a national strike in my country, 1 year strike. All the universities in my country were shut down. There was no school over a year plus. That was when I couldn't join in med school when I was 18. So that was when I was 19, I joined med school. And moving into from my comfort zone, my parents' house to med school, my first year, and meeting a whole lot of couple of people because the university is a universe, it's a world on its own, where you get to meet a whole lot of people and a different kinds of diversities and cultures, you know. So I faced a whole lot of difficulties. I'm a bookworm. I love studying. I can't do it without my books, man. If you don't study med school, I don't think you can succeed. There's a book I read. You say a reader has something to offer to the table. You know, if you don't read and study, you're not going to do well in med school. But in my country, there are some things that's going on in terms of making it quick in terms of your education or something like that. People don't really care about studying anymore in my school. They can just write the exam, go meet the lecturer and pay for them to give them A or B or something. And that's really terrible. It does happen in my school. I don't let that to affect me because when I was in, my eye opened when I was in my second year of med school because I was just studying. I had no friends like my first year in school. I was just studying. If you see my library, from library, I go back to my dorm, from library, dorm to home, just like that, to classes, to where I eat, something like that. I don't really have much friends like that. But as time was really passing by, I started thinking about something that you see someone that don't really study, don't really come to classes, don't really care about anything relating to book or something. You that is studying, burning your candles, doing a whole lot of hours of studies and stuff, and you come out, you see your results, they'll give you a C, or they could give you a B. And the person, you know this person doesn't come to classes. You know this person doesn't read or something. You know this person doesn't even care about education. They're giving A because he or she has money to, you know, meet the lecturer. They call it certain, meet the lecturer and pay her some money for the lecturer to give him an A or something. So with all this happening in my school, because that's Nigerian system for you, you know, you're not that familiar with my, you know, Nigerian educational system. So this is what is like a hint of what is happening in my Nigerian schools right now. But I don't really care about what those things are happening. I've never sorted, I've never done anything about, hey, give me an A or give me a B. I don't care about those things. So that's why I care about the knowledge of what I'm doing. Because if some instance the grades don't really define you, if I write, study and write for an exam, you give me a C or you give me a B or you give me a D, I don't really care. Once I've passed the course and I still know that course, if you call me out randomly, hey, defend this course, I could defend it. As far as I know that course, as far as it's just stuck inside of me after the knowledge and not about the grades. I study just to know the knowledge because the educational system in my country is messed up. The government is really working hard towards it, but they should really work more harder to get the educational system in my country a better place to live. So that's why I've changed my narrative, because when I was in my first year, I was after grades. Give me an, if I don't get an A, I've lost, I'm a failure. If I don't get a B. But looking at all those restraints happening in my country, educational system, chasing after the knowledge. So every kind of or doing is not about to pass exams, because to pass exams in my country is now, if you don't have money to meet the lecturer to sort or pay for him or her to give you an A, is you're wasting your time. So I'm going to just try my best to study, get the knowledge so that whenever you call me on to talk, when you hear me talk, you know that this person is a reader. This person knows what he wants. Because as I'm doing a medical course, lives are in my hands, right? A lot of people's life are in my hands. So if I don't take precautions in my studies, if I don't know what I'm doing, I'll kill a lot of people. Because, you know, we use radiation in terms of curing cancers and everything, radiography. And so there are amounts of radiation that are needed in the patient. So if I don't know all those things, if I don't study, if I don't do my research, do the necessary thing to know that, I will give an overdose of radiation to the patient. And that can kill the patient. And that's terrible. And I hear a lot of that thing in my country. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want to kill someone by my hands. So I want patients to believe in me, to treat them. So that's why I chase knowledge, not about the grades. So I started up a podcast because of my work as a medical writer, because medical writing has really helped me, you know, to also pay my bills in med school and also help my parents. I started monetizing my writing when I was my first day of med school. And that was when they paid me $45 to write a medical blog content then, 2020, December. Around 17th or something, you know, when I was done my first semester exams or something. So I was like a big boy then, you know, that was my first international payment I received as a medical writer.
That's so huge.
Yeah, having a podcast like on YouTube was during my project defense, you know, they asked me that question when I was doing my project defense in my second year, second semester, about my clinicals we did my second year, first semester. So one of the last questions he asked me was, how is content creation vital in radiography? I just started my YouTube 4 months ago. So they asked me that question. I answered it correctly, but not to the extent the supervisor wanted. So when I went back home, I really thought about that. Right. So YouTube is also an amazing place too, because a lot of they get millions and millions of views, people, you know, move into YouTube or something. And also during my studies in medical education, And I noticed that people are not that paramount in terms of health related basis, because, you know, the social media, there are some crazy news about health. People get fake news and non-tangible news out there. So that's why I wanted to use it for a means to an end. My topics and talk about my YouTube channel, just two things. People wanting to dive into medical writing, you know, as a medical student, and people wanting to hear things about healthcare, medical content in general, for people to get familiar with things relating to medical talks. So I believe I'm doing a great job in hitting those pain points for the audience to get enlightened about what is really going on. So yeah, I have a couple of contents coming up. So get ready for me. Yeah.
I love it. You touched on so many things. You talked about the socioeconomic just challenge of being in medicine. I didn't know that in your country that you can pay to get a better grade. That's really sad. And it's interesting because even though it's not as specific in medicine here in the United States, there is definitely a lot of classism and individuals who have more money, who come from money, or family members who are in medicine themselves can connect them to other doctors and get them into the better schools, get them into the better internships, or be able to pay for resources to study for the exams or tutoring that individuals that do not have that financial resources. So it's interesting that how money can really cloud medicine throughout the country. But I'm really glad that you've recognized it, but that doesn't discourage you. That just means that, you, like you said, you've changed your mindset to be, well, I'm going to do the best I can do. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to show the professors that I know the material. That's what guides you, is the knowledge to be able to help patients, because you know that it can really have a detrimental effect if we don't know the medicine, if we don't put the patients a priority. And I think that's so important as we're struggling through medicine, no matter what level or what specialty we are in, is that we remind ourselves that this knowledge is to help others and we want to prioritize them first. Can you tell me a little bit about your own experience in your family or yourself that's been able to give you a different perspective in patient care from a non-medical perspective? Do you have anything like that you would like to share?
Sure, definitely. Before I go into your question, there's a book I read about Tim Goffrin. He's a surgeon in the United States. Books. He mentioned that your grades are only useful in the university system. The patients you treat don't really care about your grades. They just care about what you can offer to the table. So that's a little of piece of advice out there. So yeah, my mom, I don't really use a whole lot of medical terminologies, you know, so that the audience will get used to what I'm talking about. So my mom really faced a terrible illness earlier this year, where she suffered about on something relating to umbilical cord cancer. Because I don't want to use a big medical terminology, so I'll just use a layman's understanding for the audience to, you know, grab something. So my mom suffered about umbilical cord cancer that almost took my mom's life. And that was really terrible. And I'm really happy that she survived it, you know, because she did a whole lot of operations. And I was studying then. I was going to school. I had to shift my narrative to my mom, because my mom has backbone, everything I do. She has been a great supporting system. I can't give her the word. She had a stone, the umbilical cord, and that formatted to, you know, cancers. I was alongside my brothers and family, shift my mom to different places for surgery and everything. So when I get in touch with the medical professionals that are done with the surgery and everything, I can learn something from them. What it told me really reflected to what my former lecturer that left the school. When you talk about the healthcare system in Nigeria, like for instance, the general said, you're a medical doctor, that's fine. You're a medical professional, that's fine. But when you talk about the healthcare setting, the patient is the king. All the things that happens in the hospital is for the patient. The patient is the king. Everything you do is for the patient. All the time, all the shift, your time, everything is for the patient. That condition my mom faced made me understand that you have to focus on the necessary things. Because one thing about me is I'm really focused. If I'm focused on something, you can't change my mindset. Because I would just focus on my writing business. I would just focus on my studies, these two things, and my YouTube. This was I was just focused on my studies, my work, how to grow my channel or something. I wasn't really focused about what's happening back home. And that really changed my narratives. Like I was giving attention to my parents though. I was going for errands and something. I'll come from school, come to their house from all the way to help them with some chores and everything. My mom's suffering from that. All the hospital settings she went, I was there with her because that is what I'm going into. So I need to be everywhere she goes. So, and she did an ultrasound. She met a radiographer. His name is, I could remember Dr. Victor, that's his name. He's an ultrasonographer that did an ultrasound scan on my mom. She, you know, brought out the ultrasound machine, went to the abdomen and everything, went to the umbilical cord and something. And we saw the stone on the ultrasound machine. You know, we saw the stone, did everything. And thank God my mom is cool. She's okay. Did the surgery, removed everything. And right now she's cool. And that one thing
to hear that.
One thing I learned from that thing my mom suffered is you have to know what you're doing in everything you do, regardless of anything you do in this life. Make sure you know that thing you're doing. You're studying medicine, you're studying ophthalmology, you're studying radiography, you're studying all kinds of courses on the medicine or wherever. You need to know that thing. My mom was shifted. Could you imagine? My mom was shifted to three different hospitals because of what? My mom hadn't no trust on those medical professionals or the hospital itself. There's a place you come in, you see my doctor, you see this hospital, said you just feel you don't trust these people. You know, I don't trust this medical professional. I don't trust this person. I don't trust this thing. And she was shifted to three different hospitals until she said, I'm going for this one. What does that do? You need to know what you're doing. So in everything you do, just try to know it. Persist in what I do, so at least to know what I'm doing. Because I also work in other places apart from my country. So I want to, patient sees me, I trust this person. That was a dangerous experience, but I thank you for everything. Thank you for everything.
I love that. It's interesting that you say the trust of how important it is to form that bond, that trust with the patient, because it can really impact their health and their life. You've already given so many amazing lessons, but is there any other tidbits or anything that you haven't mentioned that you wanted to mention before we finish off for the day?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially to medical students out there. Just keep pushing. The failures, I've failed too in several ways, but don't let your failure in the past weigh you down. If yesterday didn't go well for you, today is going to go well for you. If today didn't go well for you, tomorrow is going to go well for you. So just have a mindset. If you're suffering a breakdown in your mind, just find a therapist. Make sure you do the needful. Yourself sane. Seek help if you need. If you're suffering from anything, if you're depressed, talk to someone. You know, I believe in the United States of America, there are some numbers you're going to call, you know, for if you're depressed or something like that. I did some research on it. One of my clients last year. Firstly, seek for help if you need. Secondly, have the right mindset. You know, it's going to help you. It's helping me right now because when I was in first to second year, people I talked with, the kind of people I associated with. And that comes to the last one we're going to talk about. Have a supporting system. In everything you do, just have someone that's supporting you. It could be your family, it could be that one friend, it could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your fiance or something. Just have a supporting system and you'll go from there.
I love that. Those are three phenomenal lessons learned that I also live by and want this podcast to also educate others is seek help when you need it, don't give up, and have a support system. that's how you keep going, because medicine is hard. Educational system is really hard. And you add in the complication of medicine, all the information you need to learn. It's really easy to feel isolated and alone and stressed. And that turns into anxiety and depression. So it's so important to normalize it, that it can happen to anyone. And it does happen. There are individuals out there that are suffering that can help you, and professionals that can support you to feel better. So thank you so much, Ransom, for joining me all the way from Nigeria. Yeah. It was a wonderful hearing your story, hearing your motivation, hearing your courage and your dedication. I can't wait to see you as Dr. Ransom one day. Yeah. Thank you so much. I will definitely be linking. I'll definitely be linking and collaborating your podcast into ours and linking it below in the show notes. I'll also be putting in, you mentioned Tim Groffin, the book.
Yeah, I'll send a link.
That'd be phenomenal. Yes, I'll make sure I include that. And if you're listening for the first time, or if you're listening for the 9th or 10th time, please share with one other person that you think would associate, because that's how we board a community across the world. All our struggles that we deal with in medicine, or even if you're not in medicine or just in your own job, we have to remember we are not alone. So share this podcast with one other person. You can find it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all the places. You can also find me at MedPsychMoss and go to my website for additional resources I've created for both students, patients, and healthcare professionals. I'll put down in the link where to find Ransom, but would you like to quickly also shout out your information?
Like you all know, I'm a medical student in my 3rd year studying radiography. And apart from my medical studies, I'm also a proficient medical writer. I do a lot of writings on medical articles, medical blog content, research or scientific-based content, white paper writing, M2 writing project. Just if you need any help, reach out to me. I'm there for you. And also have a YouTube channel. Just Ransom and Yema, my name. It's a channel that talks about two things. Things relating to freelance medical writing. If you want to be a medical writer, there are some people, top medical writers, freelancers I invite to come talk about some questions that are really interrogative to the audience to get clarity on. I also talk about things relating to medical content. We can talk about things relating to mental health. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. I have upcoming contents coming up. And Happy New Year to all of you.
Yes, Happy New Year. Ransom, thank you so much. And I hope you spend time with your family and take care.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for being on the podcast.